Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Liverpool-Chelsea Thursday night. The fight for top four. Yep, we're in it because we managed to beat Sheffield United, which is good. It's a thing. Is it a good thing that we're fighting for top four when we really wanted to win the title again? No, but this is welcome to our life. This is what it is. Let's just do this. Ross Chanley joins me in the studio. Elle and John from home for this one. And Paul Machin, of course. Ross, welcome to Fine Margins Football, which is the fight for Champions League places. They're a point ahead of us in the table. A win puts us above them. Therefore, a defeat will put us four behind them. We've left ourselves in this situation. Liverpool's horrendous run of form in 2021. Has left us with no choice. But if we're going to, if we want Champions League football, then we need to start putting a run of wins together. We got that win against Sheffield United to start things. Fine. Tick. It was a win that Liverpool were expected. Liverpool had no choice but to get. This is going to be a different kettle of fish. It's going to be a massive game.
A huge game. Not only getting wins back, it's the home form back under our belts as well, and stepping up against a much better opposition, a side that are, you know, I know they drew at the weekend, but you know they're in good form since Tuchel came in. I know he's mixing up a little bit, but their squad depth is something that we'd love at the moment, which again throws up loads of questions. I'm sure we'll get into about how we line up, but they've got loads of options off the bench. You know, even when they start, you know, I think Kabak and Phillips would be all right if Giroud was playing because he's a physical player, but you know they've got so many striking options as well. It's just Sheffield United was lovely, but I'm also dead nervous for this game now. I enjoyed the happy moment of winning a game of football, but I'm very nervous for this.
Yeah, well, look at it. We are where we are, aren't we, Dad? Is that, you know, Chelsea are, it's inescapable how good, you know, Chelsea's squad is. It's absolutely brilliant. Tuchel's had a few games now to get under his belt. He's starting to make them a little harder to beat, which I think is the main thing that they certainly weren't that under Frank Lampard. He hasn't quite got them firing on all cylinders yet. You know, they're not like a free flow and attack of us. They're not blowing teams away. And they do come to us on the back of two draws. So I don't expect this to be another massive high scoring game. But yeah, I'd rather be playing them now than maybe, you know, in a few months' time, once he finally works out how to get the best out of Werner, Havertz, etc.
Yeah, I mean, Ross is spot on. The home form is the concern. At the moment, we don't seem to be able to win a football match at Anfield. Haven't gone for decades, not losing any. And of course, I mean, I said on the Final Word show, I was totally not bothered by the Sheffield United game. I didn't think we'd have any trouble. I was dead relaxed. I mean, the exact opposite for this game, because they have the ability to rip us to shreds if we're not careful. And I've said in the past as well that I think it's about time we just stuck the two centre-backs in and then got our midfield back playing. But given it's Chelsea, I'm beginning to change my mind. I think that if Fabinho's fit, he should be in the back four to give us a bit of nous and experience. Yeah. I mean, Chelsea are very, very dangerous. The only saving grace for me is that they seem to have bought like half a dozen wingers.
Yeah,
you know, all the players they bought are fast and tricky, but they all seem to be the same to me. I mean, they might be left foot, right foot, but Pulisic and Ziyech and Havertz, they're all, you know, they all seem the same kind of player to me. They seem to have little variety in their side.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the likes of Kante, who doesn't always play. But they're still, you know, on paper anyway, they certainly frighten me.
They should definitely be doing better. And this is the thing, Errol, let's stick with the home form thing. We'll talk about what Liverpool do line-up-wise in the second half. But, you know, is it 1923 since we last lost four home games, consecutive home games in the league? I don't even know if Liverpool have ever in their history lost five. I can't imagine how many more years we're going to have to go back to change that record if that's the case.
53 it was.
Oh, wow. Sorry, yeah. Sad. You know, the point is that it's not an ideal team to come up against if you want to sort of turn the corner for Liverpool. But also, you can't play Sheffield United every week. So, you know, we've got to take that. We've got to take the positives from that. And we've also got to take where Liverpool's weaknesses, where, you know, we're almost exploited and hopefully improve, because you can't, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to sound overly philosophical on this, but if we want to finish in the top four, then we have to beat Chelsea, and then we have to go and win. We have to go and beat Fulham, and then we've got to put a run of good results down. And so it has to. We have to kick on at Anfield. We've no choice.
Yeah, and I think we've built the rod for our own back, so it's only right that we've got to break the duct as well at the end of the day. And if we can do that at home against this Chelsea squad that are rejuvenated, they found another lease of life under Thomas Tuchel. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, when you get like halfway through your career on FIFA and you've got your manager mode, and then all of a sudden you just get this offer from like Madrid or like Barca, and the team's just like OP to the max with all these players. It seems like that's just how his career's gone, jumping into this Chelsea job. But you can't blame him. He's picked it up. He's got them playing better football than what they had previously been playing. They haven't scored more than two goals since getting any results with them. So I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I just think if we can actually take the game to them and make them sit in their formation, make them stay compact and not let them be so expansive and pulling us left, right and centre, I think we'll do all right. And I'd like to think this is a good chance for us to get all of that stress that we've had over the last couple of weeks about the home form off our back. I'm not saying it rights all the wrongs, but it would go some way in doing the lads confidence by being able to say, you know what, we've just beat a really good Chelsea squad there, and now we're looking down at them, not the other way around.
There should be no lack of motivation for this one. I think Errol's dead right. There's going to be a lot of stored up anger and frustration at the home form thing for the start. There's a degree of which, like, again, you're going, oh, these are... I don't wish it being disrespectful to Chelsea, you know, like pretenders to the throne. You know, we've slipped, our crown slipped, but you know, you're fighting with them now. We're almost entering to league style cup football here. You know, I'm not saying you can't claw 4 points back. Of course you can, because they'll drop more points between now and the end of the season. But it's to beat them puts it in our hands. You're looking at fifth place. Look at fifth place first. We don't deserve to look at fourth place until we get to fifth place. And look, as pointed out there, he's not. They've still got those issues where they're not a unified side just yet. They are a team that's going to come and play football. I would be surprised if Tuchel, you know, had them sitting deep and following the template that a lot of teams have had success with us, because he's still got to win his fans over. He's still got to win that team over. He's still got to win the football club over. There's definitely opportunities for Liverpool to strike here.
Yeah. But
no, I don't want to hear it.
No, just a slight time in this game. This is a week later. I'd be a bit more confident. So, for example, Naby Keita coming back the other day was great, because he's a potential start for this one. Jota would have been, because I think he would have had some role in Sheffield United's game, and I don't think he starts this game. Fabinho, just chuck him in, but he's been out for so long. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I put him into the back four. Yeah. Having Alisson back is a massive bonus. But you're at risk of just throwing loads of lads in who aren't ready, because it's Chelsea. Uh-huh. So we flip reverse round. This was Sunday against Fulham. They've had a game to kind of bet in and play. It feels like we might have to go with the same team that plays Sheffield United, barring Alisson, which is fine, but it just doesn't fill me with loads of confidence. And it's almost like, for Chelsea perspective, they'd be looking behind at us and going, well, this is a good opportunity, our last opportunity to play Liverpool while they're ultimately at their weakest.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think you're dead right. I think the one thing that's worth considering, again, it's a point my dad was sort of making there, is do they, I mean, again, maybe this makes it harder for us, but I think you can look at it from both perspectives. Are they going to start Tammy Abraham or are they going to start Olivier Giroud, centre forwards? Who are they going to play in behind? Who are they going to play on the right hand side? Are they going to go with Callum Hudson-Odoi again on the right hand side? Who's going to be the starting three centre halves for them? He's still got the same sort of problems that Lampard is. It goes past the point. He's still trying things out. So they're not like this supreme on paper.
Yeah.
I look at it and I'm fearful because I think that, you know, they have got so much talent in there, but they're not a unified force coming to Anfield looking to blow away all asunder. And Liverpool, for as much as you might be right in that, we have at least sort of hit upon a little bit more of a settled side. And it's a team that knows each other inside. As Tom just fell over outside. Oh, that's right. We are what we are, and what we've got is a little bit more. And we've got bench options potentially for the first time in a while. I know they have, but we have. We genuinely haven't had that for ages. We've been chucking random lads at a problem and hoping things work. Whereas there's a chance for the first time in weeks and weeks and weeks that despite the fact that we still have got loads of our top players out, we've got a few more back there that have got different ways of breaking a football team down. Right, we're going to discuss that in the second half of the show. You know, again, the Fabinho thing, if he's back, what do you do with him? And again, potential rotation options for the midfield as well. Before we do, we've got a trivia question. Who scored Liverpool's three goals the last time we played Thomas Tuchel at Anfield?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let us know in the comments and we'll be back after this short break. Yes, do check that out. We've got some absolutely amazing content streaming now on the redmentv.com. Go ahead there, sign up. We've got obviously your day-to-day, your week-to-week stuff, pre and post-game things, but also loads of in-depth documentary series, feature-length stuff, interviews with the legends and managers past and present. Plenty to keep you occupied in the very short turnaround in between games and beyond as well. Right, yes. Ross, you've been dying to talk about it. All of you have been dying to talk about it. Desperate to shoehorn Fabinho into conversation when we're meant to be talking about the game in general.
You're not going to answer the trivia question first, Paul?
No, because I've started and now I'm deliberately going to stick it out. who scored Liverpool's three goals, Ross?
Don't know.
You asked for this.
Firmino,
yeah, scored the third.
Sturridge.
Daniel Sturridge scored the first. Anyone?
Ooh, Milner.
Okay, Errol.
Nah, your daddy's hit the nail on the head from a penalty.
James Milner scored the penalty. It was Ross who said it, but yeah, you can play on. Well done, Dad. James Milner.
Hey, it's like Alisson all over again, isn't it?
Alisson
Gates.
Yeah. James Milner, yeah, there you go. We beat Paris Saint-Germain 3-2 with the last gasp. 90 plus 2.
Was it that celebration as well?
It was Bobby the Pirate.
Did he pick that injury up at Chelsea?
Spurs.
Oh, was it Spurs? Sorry.
Yeah, it was totally got
another London game.
One of them. If you got that right, you're brilliant. Give yourself a like on this video. Right, yes, Ross, Fabinho. It was a point made by the Sky pundit post match at the weekend, and we've been saying now for weeks, we've answered this before, just play the centre halves. We own centre halves. Doesn't matter how good they are. Play your centre halves. Fabinho is likely to be back. He's had two sessions prior to the Sheffield United game, not deemed enough to be thrown back in for this one. We're clearly getting him ready for this game. You're Jurgen Klopp. Do you have the bottle to play Fabinho in centre mid, or do you need to play him at centre half?
See, now you pose the question as having bottle, Paul. My mind changed. No, but I'm not against Chelsea. I don't know.
So you're playing him centre half?
Yeah, with Kabak.
Okay. Anyone else got the required cojones to put Fabinho into midfield for this game? Errol,
yeah,
no?
Yeah. Do you know what? On the basis of,
peer pressured you into
thanks,
it.
Errol.
No. Just on the basis of the fact that, like, we've just kept a clean sheet, albeit against Sheffield United. These are going to have a completely different setup of funds and they're going to go at it. But we've all been kind of touching on the last couple of weeks that midfield has been an issue for us. It's not necessarily just not having a personnel in defence. And if we can anchor him as that six, I think that shores up our defence quite a bit. And then having two lads behind him, it means that the two lads in midfield can go on and play their game then, whether that be Thiago and Gini, or whether that be Keita and Gini, or whoever it is, they're free to go up the pitch and focus forward, because Fabinho's going to shore everything up. He's going to be able to commit those long leg, last-ditch tackles 20, 30 yards up the pitch, where he might give away a foul, but he's not giving it around the edge of the box. And I'd feel much more calm knowing that he's playing in front of lesser experienced players. But that's just me.
Do you know what? The other thing that skews it for me as well, because I'd love to start for being in midfield, I really would, but I think having other midfield options helps your defence options. So you've got Naby Keita coming back, you've got James Milner coming back. You're not using the same three people that we used, Gini, Jones and Milner, for three games in a row because there was nobody else. Now you can look at that midfield and, like, you know, like Errol just said it there, you've got midfield options. Mm-hmm. But just shore your midfield and use that, because that's the engine of our team and what we do. Fabinho and Kabak might be a consistent pairing. And I'm kind of sick of saying this, but consistency is the key for Liverpool, to put our consistent side over a number of weeks to then get consistent results. And I know it's going to be, another sense about pairing. I know Kabak and Fabinho played together before. Mm-hmm. In a game, I want that to be a run of games that they're going to play together. Now, Fulham's a different kettle of fish, because I don't think they're going forward, they're very good, but we've got three home games, depending on what goes on with Leipzig, where you can have Kabak and Fabinho, not that Phillips has done anything wrong, at centre-back and build something at the back there with those there, because you've got a senior centre-half. All the pressure's not on a 20-year-old kid who's just come to the club.
Yeah, I don't think they have played together, have they? Because Fabinho just literally got injured the second we bought in centre-halves. But this is the point, that I think it's excusable. I'm joking about with this whole, like, having the bottle to play Fabinho in midfield. I personally would, because I agree. I think the extra shield that he gives the defence, I think you're adding something to it. If you can put Alisson and Fabinho either side, if you're surrounding, boxing in your area of concern in those two largely untried centre-halves with your two best fullbacks, your best DM, and your best goalkeeper, then I think that helps that situation immeasurably. But we're also in a world where we have now got James Milner back available. We have got Naby Keita now available as well. We've got options to rotate. We've actually got good midfield options that we might be able to get away without Fabinho in there. I don't know.
Well, I've argued quite a bit in the past that Fabinho's a good centre-back and a world-class defensive midfield player, so you should be playing him there. I'm just a coward. I don't want to be being ripped to shreds by Chelsea.
Yeah. You know.
I know he's played as well as he can in the games he's played, and I think we have to be, pleased with the way he's performed. But as I say, I just don't want to see that. So I would put the experience in there to try and make sure that we're not giving away soft goals. And I also think the key to the game is going to be our fullbacks. And I think if our centre of our defence is a bit stronger, then you can get them up the field a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, the one note on this, the way the Chelsea line up, and again, I think if Fabinho's fit, I think he will go with a centre half, because I think there's a pecking order to it, and he is our. He's our senior centre half at this point, whether we like it or not. But I do look at the way they play, and I think particularly how much Genie Wijnaldum's played, and I wonder whether having that proper protection for the back four, because they're probably going to play Giroud centre forward, and look. A target man, sad. He's more than a target man because he's so good at football that I don't think it's as simple as he's big. Let's put Nat Phillips because he's big and you know he's not going up against Ollie McBurnie again. Yeah. You know it's a much more a supremely gifted footballer who would probably give him an absolutely torrid time. But they're gonna play probably Mount behind. Possibly Ziyech, and then what they've been doing obviously in the last couple of games, they've had Callum Hudson-Odoi nominally as that like right wing back, but right mid crossing the ball in. I just think that's a good opportunity for us to shut down what they do, because again, their tricky, skillful players are in areas of the pitch where you know aren't necessarily going to go up one on one against our centre forward. If they were playing Timo Werner centre forward, I might be more concerned about. Well, they might, you're right. I would be slightly more concerned, but if they're going to go with the target man, you know, they're playing Callum Hudson-Odoi off the right where they're crossing the ball in for a target man centre forward. I'm less concerned about Nat Phillips at the back, and I would rather Fabinho be there to tidy up the other lads on the edge.
But this is part of Klopp's headache because Chelsea got so many options. It's difficult to see how we line up because it's probably dictated by how they do it. I know Hudson-Odoi went off with an injury at half time against Manchester United, so there's him ruled out. But you know, what's the backup then? You know, my Timo Werner instead. You know, we've all knocked him. Said, "Oh, we never got him."
Yeah,
he's still an exceptional football player, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see
What if Klopp's been thinking this though? I want to get that partnership, as you were saying before, of two of central defenders to be playing together consistently, game after game. What happens if he's fought Sheffield United, Kabak, Phillips, Chelsea, Kabak, Phillips, Fulham, Chelsea, Kabak, Phillips, and I'll review it after those three games? That's a week's worth of footy, and I'll see how he's get on after that. And from there, we will then make those other decisions as to whether Fabinho needs to drop back. But if he thinks by being able to drop Fabinho into the defensive mid position now, as Paul was saying, where they're going to have the flirty players with the ball, we don't want Kabak or we wouldn't want Fabinho coming that far up the pitch to get the ball off them to do those interceptions. The best place for them to be positioned to do that is in centre defensive mid. So I think that's probably what gives us that extra bit of steel, shielding that those two defenders for us. And I think as well, in terms of getting some sort of consistency, that could be the extra little point. Instead of worrying about how they're going to line up, if he knows, if I can keep you fit for a week, this is how I'm playing, no matter what team he's put against us.
And let's be honest, Errol, you know, you can put Fabinho at centre-half. He's not played for a month. You know, he might not be absolutely, you know, on it, and it only takes a slight little moment where he's not. Well, my point is this, Chelsea can beat us with Fabinho at centre-half.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not as though...
We're invincible again, all of a sudden.
Exactly. So we're balancing things out here, and it's making a decision about... It's never going to be 100%. Do we trust the midfield to win the midfield battle with the midfield options we've got? And if they do, then we might not need Fabinho. But I wonder whether there's something to knowing Fabinho. You know, you're walking out that tunnel and Fabinho's in that team. And Liverpool win games in midfield, I think.
Exactly. And we said it in the final word before. We don't play games just to play for that game. We're playing for a longer term plan. We're playing for the season and stuff like that. It's the same sort of thing here. In this little compact moment now, we're not playing just to play Chelsea on a one-off. We're playing to hopefully get a little bit more consistency for the Fulham game on the Sunday and the Leipzig game the following week. Like, these are the reasons that we're trying to get trying to bed in now these two young lads as a partnership. And I don't think after getting a clean sheet and the right result the other day, he's going to just go, yep, Fabinho's back, scrap it, let's go back to another untried and untested variation of the 19th centre-back partnership for the season.
Yeah, it's so hard because whatever he does is a risk, isn't it? Like, I agree, I'd love to do that. But, you know, against Chelsea, can you afford to try out Fabinho in the end with two relative new lads behind him? At what cost? When he's tried and tested Fabinho at centre-half, the senior centre-half in games before, and we've got results there. So, you know, whatever Klopp does, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. Because, he plays Fabinho at DM and it's a mistake at centre-half. Everyone's going, oh, he should have played Fabinho.
Well, it's all hypothetics at this point, isn't it? Because it goes, that's my point about it. You know, we can lose this game with Fabinho centre-half just as easily as we can lose this game with him in centre-mid. We might choose not to bother at all. It might be all, you know.
Play Davies.
Well, no, but he's got to be fit, hasn't he?
What gives us the best chance of winning the game then in your mindset? Then if we're accepting that we could lose it either or, what gives us the best chance of winning the game?
Exactly. That's my thinking. And that's why Fabinho, for me, would start in midfield. And again, but I don't think he will, because I think Klopp will want his best, his most talented footballer spread across the pitch. Fabinho is another senior lad. He's big. He's good. He's just good on the ball. He's just better. He's much better than Nat Phillips. And so is the improvement... What's the percentage of improvement across that team? Does your team improve more with Fabinho in DM or at centre half? And it probably improves more for having him at centre back. Really, in some regard, because now Phillips is what Phillips is.
I think he's going to play Fabinho and Kabak for the rest of the season, and I think he's got his four choice centre back. And his new centre-back, we don't know where in the pecking order Kabak's going to land up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Phillips, we know, isn't in the top four. He's probably sixth at best, and they wanted to get rid of him anyway. So I don't think he's in the equation. I think Rhys Williams is maybe fifth or sixth choice now. Mm-hmm. And
we don't know where Davies is either in terms of his pecking order on this. You
don't know enough about him, do we?
Yeah, look, the ideal world is, you know, this game, this and the Leipzig game are getting picked, because Leipzig next Wednesday, is that right? Yeah. They'll pair the teams up for this game. So our strongest team available will play Chelsea, and then in an ideal world, no one else gets injured, and you're probably playing the same game against the next week in Fulham's, where you make a couple of adjustments. So I think you'll find... I do think Klopp will go Fabinho for this one. Yeah, and I agree, alongside Kabak. And I think ideally, in a super ideal world, Davies and Kabak would be a natural... Again, you come back to it, it's a left side of centre-half.
Yeah.
There's a natural dovetailing of them playing as a centre-half pair, and they're both probably slightly on the short side, but that's what you think they would go with. And maybe that's as ideal. Fabinho's in our... playing the good teams centre half, and then for your winnable games, you can afford to change things up, but we won't know until we do it, and certainly we won't have the trust in it until we see us win games. But it's a big gamble, but the rewards, if you can beat Chelsea with Nat Phillips and Kabak at centre half, and you've managed to get Fabinho back in your midfield, there's no doubt our midfield goes up a level. We've got all of a sudden that is a way you've got okay, you've got a low-end Premier League, top-end Championship level defence centre-back partnership, but you've got a world-class goalie, world-class full-backs, world-class midfield, world-class attack, as opposed to probably mid-level Premier League when you put Fabinho in there, and probably mid-level Premier League midfield as a result.
Defence will go up a level as well, though. But the whole squad, in terms of confidence, are thinking we can do against Sheffield United is one thing, because we've all established that they're terrible, but to do against Chelsea, there's not many other teams with their... attacking quality that you're going to play in the remainder of the season, so that'll give you confidence to say, well, actually, like Errol said, you're going to try that, and it's tested, just what passes the test against Chelsea, stick with that.
Yeah, without a doubt. So let's have a little look. Go on, Errol.
No, just going to say then, in terms of having those two lads there as well, from Phillips' perspective, you know, you look at the Sheffield United goalkeeper yesterday, that first half of the game, he played out of his skin. Why? He's been shit all season. Played his out of his skin because he was playing against us. At the end of the day, it can work the other way. Nat Phillips could look at that Chelsea line and see, you know, Giroud lining up against him or Werner and be like, look, I need to play. You know, we know what he is, but he might go up a level just because of the opposition that's in front of him. And that extra adrenaline can carry you through games sometimes. And, you know, it's worth at this stage, I think it's worth the gamble to just try and cement that midfield and win that midfield battle for me.
This is where Jurgen Klopp earns the big bucks, isn't it? You know, you've got big decisions to be made here. We've actually got options available to us. You know, this is the point. A time of filming, and we have to throw that caveat in now, because Liverpool get players injured at the drop of a hat, unfortunately, or ill, as we discovered with Jota. Alisson should be back. Jota should be available. Fabinho should be available. Keita was back. Milner was back. There's, all of a sudden, you know, we've got a load of things that we can do in this football match. And this is what we need to do now. We've got some big games coming up. These next three games are going to be season defining.
Yeah.
You know, you've got two really, really big and difficult games sandwiching a what should be a winnable game against Fulham at home, but we saw how difficult they made it for us away from home. If you can go and get three wins now, or you know, four having won the Sheffield United one, you've grasped the season.
I think as well that the home, if we can get a good win at home, that may well turn our home form round again, and that would be a real bonus.
And that's why I do think again Klopp will go with Fabinho, because the shutout, I think he's right in heart of hearts. He is right to do this. Fabinho and Kabak are our two best available centre halves at the football club right now. Yeah. They are, Nat Phillips is a perfectly able deputy to go and throw into big matches where you're right, where he's just tasked with defend, go kick, defend, head, concede throw-ins to your heart's content, mate. You know, that's sound. But you are wresting more control of the football match by putting the more better footballers you've got in your team, the more you've got control over what happens in front of you. And Jürgen will feel, I think, to that point, is that we've got a better chance of keeping Chelsea out, which means we've got a better chance of winning with those. But look, let's just quickly look at the other games going on in midweek. Everton actually played Southampton Monday night, which is the day we're filming this. We can't react to that particularly. Let's hope Taki absolutely turned it on. Burnley Leicester, it's really interesting because there was a few tweets going out at the weekend, wasn't it, Roster? Leicester are the second most injuries this season in terms of minutes missed, but it was like half as many as us, but then they lost like three players to injury during the game at the weekend. So
it's like Cyprundish.
Yeah, I know. but that's an interesting one for Leicester to go to Burnley. I mean, obviously Spurs absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Yeah.
Leicester could very well do the same, but they've had injuries to Madison, they've got injuries to Harvey Barnes now as well. They're starting to lose players in the areas of the pitch. Johnny Evans had an injury as well. I wouldn't put against Burnley getting something from that.
No, but the big question for Leicester is their mentality as well. You know, they lost against Arsenal, who obviously not done very well this season, but also they got knocked out of the Europa League as well. What's that done mentally to Leicester? You know, can they G themselves up and go again? Plus, what happened to them last season, where they think they were pretty much nailed on for second or third place, and what they finished fifth in the end. So it's a big question to them.
Yeah, Sheffield United, Villa, Dad, you'd be daft to kind of bet against Villa on this one, but, you know, Sheffield United have been No, they're going to get battered, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Crystal Palace versus United. Errol, again, how you bank on Man United start getting back on the horse, but it's also not against the realms of possibility. Roy Hodgson at home.
I was going to say, didn't he lose to Palace at Old Trafford earlier this season, though?
That's a great question.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, they can be a bit of a banana skin for some big teams, so they probably will win or do as nicely.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday kicking off, I think, I don't know if it kicks off at the same time as us, but West Brom Everton, the Fat Sam derby.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the most Everton thing ever to, let's say, beat Southampton with a really good win and then have Sam Allardyce.
Got two games in 4 days.
They've got three games in 8 days. They play Monday, Thursday, Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they might play Chelsea next Monday, I think, or something like that. But
welcome to our world, Evan.
Yeah, isn't it? I Everton should absolutely do West Brom, but it would be very, very Everton for this to be a game where they do drop points.
I'm very Sam Allardyce to do absolutely fuck all during a game and bag a win. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Fulham Spurs, which again, you would expect that to be a random banana skin for Spurs, of course. Right, okay, Liverpool taking on Chelsea at Anfield. What is the score going to be, Ross Shanley?
1-0 to Liverpool. Okay. And that's a hope. I just do another win.
Dad?
2-1.
Errol?
I was going to go for 3-1. same result as when Sushil last came to Anfield.
Okay, oh, cool. Nice. The 1-0 thing, I can't see there being loads of goals. I say they don't score loads and they don't concede many at the moment. We don't score loads at the moment, and okay, defence is obviously an issue. It's either going to be an absolutely bonkers, like 4-3 game of football that no one expects, but I think it's going to be a goal, the odd goal that wins this one.
I think it's the way the game's going to go, but also just what I take at this point. And I've said the same thing as Sheffield United, just 1-0, just 3 points in the bag is, you know, it's the only thing that counts, 3 points.
It's got the kind of game where we could do with the types of win that we need, we could do with Fabinho scoring a header from a corner. You know what I mean? Or Kabak doing something like that. Getting a goal from a set piece to win a football match. Well, yeah. But it's something that we're very much lacking this season.
Or a penalty.
A penalty. Yeah, whatever. I mean, like the penalty thing, yeah, we've been all right for pens large this season, haven't we? By comparison to the low bar for the three seasons that preceded it. But they're the strings to the bow that we need to prove that we can win football matches in multiple ways. I'd be bang up for that, like an 80, just like, you know, like an 88th minute Fabinho header or something.
I wouldn't want to leave it to the wire like that.
I wouldn't want to leave it to the 4-0, obviously, but yeah.
I've not reached that position of being that picky about goals that go off someone's arse in any minute of the game, and I'm fine with it.
But Bobby Firmino, I know what you mean. Bobby Firmino, in fact, he scored, he broke his home duck, didn't he, against these last game of the season, when we had the trophy parade after restart. I think that's...
Was that when Frank Lampard lost his head?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giving it the beans. That worked out well for Frank.
Oh, he's dying on beans.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe
it or not.
Right, for all of you watching at home, let us know what you think the score's going to be. How do you think the game's going to go? And do you have the cojones, or Lady Cajones, whatever, to put Fabinho into midfield rather than defence? Or is that just, is it just stupidity to have a weaker defence for no reason when you've got loads of midfielders? Let me know in the comments. Plenty of stuff from us, of course. If you want to look back on the brilliance of Curtis Jones, Stats and Tactics is streaming now on the redmentv.com. The Legends series begins this Friday. I think we've got two episodes. The first two episodes are going to be streaming available on there. Yeah, so do go and check that out. And there's a whole host of other brilliant things as well. And we've got our wonderful partnership with the Beers of Anfield Road, which you've been able to see alongside me and Ross, if you've been watching this on YouTube. But yes, brilliant. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us for the show. Thank you very much, Ross. You're wonderful. We'll be back with a live watch along and commentary for the game on Thursday night. Come and check us out on the YouTube channel. Sana.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.